My name is Neil Donahue. I'm a podiatrist from Philadelphia. I practice up at Roxborough Hospital. We have a wound center there. I've been doing that. I've gave up my general practice several years ago to one of my former residents who works with me still, specifically to do all aspects of foot and ankle wound prevention and care. That dovetails my local day-to-day real life dovetails with work I began several years ago when I had the wonderful opportunity to join a mission to Peru, sponsored by the Mercy Health System and the Augustinians, are actually from right out here at Villanova University. You'll notice, by the way, that I also put David Armstrong's name on the title slide. What's happened through our common experiences, David working with the International Working Group on the Diabetic Foot out of the Netherlands, the consensus consultative group, which put together the consensus document for the diabetic foot internationally, and myself working with wound patients in several third world countries or developing countries, we had common experiences that about a year and a half ago we intercepted each other and started talking about the needs for podiatric medical and surgical education internationally. My experience, and I'll give you a little bit of a segue into the actual curriculum itself and the rationale for it. Peru, I learned the importance of teamwork. Let me see, does the camera work? Here we go. The importance of teamwork, learning, my first mission, learning how to be a medical missionary. That was the first job, and it took me more than the 2 weeks of that mission to learn that. It took me many, many subsequent missions. But what I saw in Peru, as I saw in subsequent countries, wherever I went worldwide, was this dramatic amount of lower extremity wounds, particularly diabetic wounds. Mexico, I saw the same thing. I learned many things on each visit, sometimes a little differently on each visit, sometimes similar learning experiences. For example, I learned nothing works without a team, nothing works without other specialists working with you, nothing works without having anesthetist and anesthesiologist when you need to give surgical care. But I also learned in Mexico the value of what could be gleaned and gained from a small hospital, as the Red Cross, as we found in the Red Cross Hospital in Mexicali, Mexico. A lot could be done. The Baja Project for Crippled Children, as you know, has been there for probably 33 years now. They have a great team approach. They're very organized. They have a great infrastructure. They do things like clubfoot surgery and neuromuscular diseases, cerebral palsy, polio, reconstructive surgery on the foot and ankle of those children. And it's a wonderful project, an absolutely wonderful project. But I learned from Dr. Mark Bernard, who was one of the founders of that project, how to do mission work. Similarly, in Jamaica, beginning back in 1997, I learned the importance of the public health center system. Down on the left side of the slide, those both pictures on the left side, are public health nurses. Public health nurses were wonderful. They taught me probably more than I could ever have taught them in the country of Jamaica about how to care for patients. The other thing that I learned in Jamaica was to use the existing infrastructure of any public health system. And what I learned in Jamaica was that the rural health centers had a perfect infrastructure to provide podiatric care, including surgical care. At the public health center level, they had medical officers, they had public health nurses, they had midwives, they had very good medical records, particularly surprisingly in rural areas. But they also were developing back then, about 12 years ago, a foot care assistance program. Now, what this foot care assistance program was, it was certainly modeled on a lot of the information that was coming out worldwide, channeled through the International Working Group on the Diabetic Foot. But in Jamaica and the Caribbean, the leadership was taken by Mr. Owen Bernard, who was a British-trained chiropodist, who was a native Jamaican, who came back and started this foot care assistance program. And what he was able to do was sort of fill the void for the lack of podiatrists, the lack of chiropodists in the British tradition, in these rural areas in Jamaica where there was epidemic proportions of diabetic wounds and certainly leading to diabetic amputations. So this foot care assistance program I've been doing training with now for the last 12 years, and it's been a tremendously rewarding experience. In Cambodia, in the lower right picture, I learned the importance of what could be done with a modest emergency room. So in an emergency room in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, we actually started a little outpatient wound center, not just for diabetic wounds, but for other wounds, for example, from patients with leprosy, Hansen's disease. Leprosy was still very prevalent in countries like Cambodia and Southeast Asia and India, particularly the neuropathic fallout from patients who had been treated for the infectious part of leprosy or Hansen's disease, but were still left with the chronic neuropathy, very similar clinical picture as we see in our diabetic patients. Venezuela, I learned the importance of working with the local medical schools, with large medical centers, government and private medical sector, to coordinate those people and to take the leadership to coordinate them to develop outpatient podiatric care, even in the most rural level. In Belize, I also learned about the importance of finding our leaders. One of the best general surgeons that I found in Belize didn't know anything about the foot, didn't know a whole lot, let's put it that way. He wanted to be trained in foot and ankle surgery, particularly as it related to diabetic wounds and wound healing in general, for example, venous wounds, traumatic wounds, arterial wounds. So it was there I learned how to start selecting our leadership in these various countries to basically be the leader to do what we do as podiatrists and podiatric surgeons. In Brazil, a very large medical center at the University of Sao Paulo. Brazil has 200 million people. It has about 36 million diabetics. And other than the areas around Rio, Bahia, and Sao Paulo, where the concentration of population is, the rural areas in Brazil, you know how large Brazil is, an enormous country, there's very little medical care in general, let alone any specialty care, particularly for diabetics. But I again learned how to use that leadership and that strength and power of these large regional medical centers, particularly if you developed leaders and champions, as I did with a Dr. Marcus Castro Ferreira, the head of plastic surgery in Sao Paulo, because he was the wound leader for Brazil. So with him, we can begin to develop again that rural center, essentially based on that diabetic, Jamaican rural health center model. Because most of these countries have some type of public health center system based on the Jamaica model. Okay, and what we found was that besides diabetes, which I highlighted in red here, the problems were not just with diabetics, but many, many things: congenital deformities, neuromuscular deformities, traumatic injuries, vascular disease, infectious disease, cancer, arthritides, and primary ulcerative disease. For example, Buruli ulcers, a lot of the tropical ulcerations that we see in those latitudes, in those tropical zones, can be devastating and certainly can be limb-threatening. So through all of this and synthesizing all this, I was at one point about halfway through these early journeys, I got very depressed because the problem seemed so overwhelming to me. So what we did was we started the World Walk Foundation. I needed something to hang my hat on, something certainly that we could legitimately petition for grant money for, but also some umbrella organization that we could begin to use to come down and train these physicians in these developing countries. The model that we use, I finally realized there was just too much diabetes alone, let alone all of these other limb-threatening diseases that we saw that I just listed. So the model was the 100 squared model, which basically meant that if I, in my lifetime, committed to training 100 physicians and nurses and physical therapists in these countries in my specialty, and each one of those 100 committed to 100, that's by the second generation, that's 10,000 trained caregivers. And I'm convinced the model like this is, or the teaching the teacher's model is really the only way to make any progress just because of the volume of disease in the developing world. So here's the curriculum. David Armstrong and I, about a year and a half ago, started talking about this, and he said, yeah, Neil, he said, throughout his travels and working with the International Working Group on the Diabetic Foot and the International Diabetes Federation, he says, people are asking me all the time, MDs, DOs, that they may have good general surgical training, for example, or they may be an endocrinologist, but they don't have specialty training in the foot and ankle, particularly when it comes to wound healing. So when we realized that we were both really experiencing the same type of need, we wrote a paper for Podiatry Management Magazine for about a year ago. It was published over 2 months because it was quite lengthy, but it was basically the paper describing what we feel should be this three-tiered curriculum for podiatric medical and surgical training in the developing world. And at the end, my email address is available for anybody that would like me to send them a copy of that paper. But anyway, looking at the three tiers, and look at thinking of the practical situation that we find ourselves in. For example, in Venezuela, there may be an MD trained in general surgery, he may be trained in orthopedics, but he has really no surgical training in the foot and ankle. So these are our tier one trainees, both MDs and DOs. And the curriculum would include, obviously, the training for the tier three and tier two specialists, but the surgical training in tier one would include comprehensive foot and ankle surgical training and the 2007 diabetic foot consensus document from the International Diabetes Federation as the curriculum for how to prevent diabetic wounds, how to heal diabetic wounds, and how to prevent diabetic amputations. So what we've begun doing is actually doing somewhat of a fellowship program where we will select those people that are interested. We will give them a series of classroom lectures. We will give them surgical training on their patients in their hospitals. But the other thing that we'll do is twofold. One is we will actually invite that leadership to come up here and spend a month, 2 months, sometimes 3 months at a series of hospitals in the United States to continue their surgical training and their diabetic education training and all aspects of the training. The other thing that we'll do is we'll give them live and archive webcasts on foot and ankle surgery, on diabetic education information. We're working with the Diabetes Association of Jamaica. They have a training program just specifically for diabetic educators. So those are the two top tier, the tier one training concepts that we're doing. And quite honestly, probably for my lifetime, we're not even going to get into too much of general foot and ankle surgery, the bunions, the hammer toes, the metatarsal osteotomies, the cavus foot, the flat foot. Some of those electively do apply to certain diabetics who have tremendous foot deformities and who become, when you do a risk assessment for your diabetics, they are at a high risk, maybe because they have a cavus foot or maybe because they have a declinated metatarsal and really need that surgery, which traditionally was more elective surgery. But for the most part, the diabetic and the wound healing piece is probably what I'll spend the rest of my career on. And using that 2007 diabetic foot consensus as sort of the nucleus of that training. Tier two becomes a non-surgical podiatrist. I have a lot of podiatrists that have come with me that don't do a lot of hospital surgery, but they're very interested in training other specialists, even MDs, say an endocrinologist who's not going to be doing a transmetatarsal amputation. But he certainly could be debriding ulcers, as you can see here, ulcer assessment, diabetic foot care, ulcer debridement. Mm-hmm. The second level is for specialists who want that specialty training, who may work at a rural clinic or at an intermediate level clinic in a country like Jamaica or Belize or Brazil, who want that level of training. And level three, you'll see the podiatric assistant program here as really the hallmark or the model for the tier three trainee. And that's what Owen Bernard had done in Jamaica. And now he goes all over the Caribbean and also through Latin America to train lay people how to do basic foot care, which has done remarkable things because we're getting data now that what he's done in Jamaica has made a substantial impact in terms of preventing ulcerations. The whole point of this, obviously, we know that diabetic wounds come in many, many different flavors. There's our consensus document that's now on a CD that we're using for our classroom part of our training, basic lectures on how to organize a diabetic foot clinic. Certainly the surgical aspects of what we do, for example, is a perfect example. You have a general surgeon. He sees a wound like this in an emergency room in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. He probes the bone. He panics. Not unlike surgeons in the United States who feel many times, if you've got osteomyelitis in the foot and a diabetic, many doctors won't even treat it. What happens traditionally in the developing world with a wound like this is the patient gets a below knee amputation. What we're trying to show them, both through hands-on skill set training in the operating room, with lectures on site in their various countries with our traveling teams, with live and archive webcasting. In fact, the live webcasts come along with CME credits, which a lot of these docs appreciate because they can't afford to travel to get CMEs, and they do need them by their national law. And also by the fellowship program, by having the leaders among that group come to the United States, we're trying to show them that these are healable wounds. Okay? So we show them how you can actually debride. There's the calcaneus at the end of that osteotome, that you can debride these wounds. You can stage the closure of these wounds. You can eventually get them to granulate, skin graft them, and develop a healed wound on a patient who otherwise, in the hands of most third world or developing world surgeons, might go on to amputation. Okay, and that's obviously our goal, is to prevent this rapid growth of the numbers in terms of diabetes. And our public health center system is in the middle, but the important thing, my last sentence will be, is the importance of this tiered program, because what happens with the tiered program is even at the rural level, even in the tier three personnel, they're aware now that that patient has a serious wound that needs to be moved to the next level. Because like anything else, timing in life is everything. And what's happened is these people are now being moved further up the chain to a hospital setting where they can get surgical care and hopefully to start reducing the numbers and creating what I call a Wagner shift, meaning a shift of lower degree Wagner type wounds in any given geographic area. Okay, thank you.